Welcome to the Community of Hope Church podcast. Our church exists to interest disinterested people in Jesus Christ and then grow together into fully devoted followers of Him. So wherever you are, we hope you find this message helpful, practical, and applicable to your life. God bless.
Again, one more time, want to welcome everybody in the room, want to welcome everybody streaming the service online, our overflow community out there. And I just want to say from my heart to yours, I know that Christmas Eve is a special time, it's a holy time, and it's a family time, and that you have chosen to include us in your family plans is not taken for granted. And we're honored that you're with us in this moment of worship together. You know, if you've come to a Community of Hope Christmas service, we are going to end our time in just a few moments with lighting candles like we've talked about and singing a Christmas carol. In fact, I'm going to come over here and light the Christ candle. That's a way that we just remember all that God has done in Christ. And our established tradition is that we end the message time with the carol and with the lighting of the candles. I thought I would ask y'all to indulge me for a moment, and we would sing in just a moment a Christmas song that you're familiar with. And to set it off, I want to read a passage of scripture to you that comes out of the Gospel of Matthew. Now, Matthew is one of the Gospels. There are four. They each tell different. They tell the story of Jesus, but in a little bit of a different way. And tonight, I really want us to focus on Matthew's version of the birth of Jesus. And we have an established tradition to stand when we read God's word as an honor to God's word. So, like, I would just encourage, if you would, thank you for that. We'll stand together, and we're going to read. Here is the story that Matthew tells about Jesus' birth. He says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Now, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he didn't consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And we like to say here, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Lord, I want to ask in this moment, in this service, one more time, you've been so faithful, that you might meet us here with the power and the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. God, for those for whom this is our established tradition, this is something that we look forward to every year. Lord, would you say something new and fresh and compelling to us, oh God, tonight? Would you wake us up to the Christian message and to Christian faith? And for those tonight for whom, Lord, this is not an established tradition, this is new. Maybe they're here for the very first time, listening online or maybe in the overflow. Lord, I pray that you would give to all of us, God, just a capacity to hear, not only with our ears, but God, give us the capacity to hear in these few moments with our heart too. For we pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. So I want to ask us to sing a song, and here's the song. The song is entitled, "I'll Be Home for Christmas." Y'all familiar with that one? And here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing it. I want everybody to sing it. And I know when I say I want everybody to sing it, some of you are looking at family members right now and you're saying, when he says everybody, he's not talking about you. Like, nobody wants to hear you sing. But I'm going to float the umbrella of mercy. I'm going to say, I want all of us to sing. And I'm going to give us a pitch. And we're going to try to sing this together, okay? It's gone well, mostly well, in every service. And we're gonna bring it home tonight. And let me give you the pitch. So let's see. Hold on. Just give me a second. I'll be home. Here's our pitch right here. This is what we're going to do. Ready? Go. I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. Sounds good. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. Sounds good. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams, where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. Give yourself a round of applause. You did really good. That was awesome. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. You could check the video. That might have been the best one of all of them right there. So we're bringing it home. So let me tell you about this song. This song was written in 1943 by two guys, Kim Gannon and Walter Kent. Later in 1943, a guy by the name, you might know him, his name was Bing Crosby. And Bing Crosby recorded it and became an instant hit. And it kind of connected with our culture in such a way, it rocketed up the charts all the way to number 3. And it hovered there for like 11 weeks in a row, which if you know anything about music, that's quite a feat. And the song sort of connected in a way with our culture. If you might know about history, right? We were embroiled in World War II. And so the song became a cultural moment, if you will, and it spoke to the concerns and the woes of people all over the world, soldiers and families who longed for the war to be over, for peace to be reestablished, and for everybody to be returned home, especially at Christmas. And kind of an interesting aside to that in one way is the song became such a cultural hit, it was eventually inducted into something called the Great American Songbook, which are the songs, a collection of songs that tell the story of America. And this is one of those songs that tells the story of America. Little footnote for those of us in here right now in South Florida, Kim Gannon was a part-time South Floridian, and he lived just down the road in Lake Worth, passing away in Lake Worth in 1974, not too far from our Lake Worth campus. So in a way, we're a part of the story, right? But the reason I wanted to share this with you is because I think if there's ever a word that would connect in so many ways with what we tend to think about at Christmas, it's this word. It's the word home. All of us, in a way, think about home at Christmas. College students want to come home. We have some here tonight. We think about maybe going away from our home to another home to enjoy Christmas. We think about navigating flight schedules or busy highways to come back home after we've been away from home. We think about lighting our home, decorating our home, making our home welcome. We think about watching Home Alone in our home. Come on. And because it's really part of the story, I should admit, that some of us are working hard to make the homes we live in right now not feel like or represent in any way maybe the home we grew up in. It's part of our story. And in fact, if you noticed, it's part of the Christmas story. Christmas story, particularly Matthew's version of the Christmas story, shows us how complicated, in a way, Christmas and home can become. Here's Joseph and Mary betrothed to be married to one another in ancient Jewish religious culture. And Joseph discovers upon discoveries that Mary, who he's about to marry, is already pregnant. Let me just give you a word for that. The word is complicated. And then he learns that Mary is pregnant through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a word for that. more complicated. And my guess is the first time he heard that, even in the dream, it might have sounded to him much like the teacher who hears from the student when the student says, "My dog ate my homework." It was complicated. And Joseph becomes unclear whether he can invite Mary into his home. Complicated. And here's what I would tell you to just sort of pile on for a moment. Home is hard to define, if we were to really answer it. I'm a baseball fan, and one of the books that I've enjoyed is a book that's edited by Ed Bronson. It's called Baseball and Philosophy. And Ed Bronson quotes Joe Krause, who asked the famous question, "What is it that actually makes a house a home?" And he says it this way. He said, "Home is the place where you're safe, or should be. Home is the place that, for good or bad, it's where your story begins. Home is the place where you're free." And then he goes on to say it this way. He says, "You should be able to walk around in your underwear, let the dog kiss you on the mouth, drink Coke for breakfast, and nobody can judge you there." And when I read that, I thought, he didn't grow up where I grew up. I know that for sure. And then he does this great thing. He quotes the comedian George Carlin. How many remember George Carlin? And George Carlin did a thing years ago on the key differences between football and baseball. And if you know anything about George Carlin, you know this is the only thing he ever did I could quote in a sermon. Right? But here's what he says. He says this, he goes, "Football is played on a gridiron. Baseball is played in a park. Football players wear helmets. Baseball players wear caps. In football, the specialist comes in to kick something. In baseball, the specialist comes in to relieve somebody. Baseball has a seventh inning stretch. Football has a 2-minute warning. Baseball gets extra innings. Football has sudden death. In football, the runner gives you the stiff arm. In baseball, the runner gets to slide." And then he says this. He said, "The biggest difference between football and baseball is that football's main objective is military. The battle is fought in the trenches. The field general, which is the quarterback, seeks to evade the blitz, soften up the enemy line with a pounding ground attack and aerial bombardment. Sometimes he uses bullet passes, and when he thinks it'll work, he goes for the bomb to riddle the enemy defenseless and penetrate the end zone. In baseball, the object is to go home." Let me ask you a question. What's the object of this moment right here? Why are we here right now? Here we are, December 24th. I forget which service we're in. I know it's the last one. Here we are. What's the object of this moment? And here's what I would say. I mean, there are some good things, right, on the superficial level. I mean, for some of us, this is our established religious tradition. We're going to go to church. Some of you are here. That's not your tradition. We welcome you. You're with friends or family, and they say, you know, "Hey, we're glad you're here. We go to church," and you go, "Okay, well, all right, we'll go to church." Our whole prayer is maybe this isn't real painful tonight, right? You know, there's that. For some of us, you know, it's a moment of Christian calm in the storm known as December. But what is the object that we're here? We're all here for something, and I've got a few thoughts and a few suggestions. I think, first of all, the object of Christmas is to remember that this world is not our home. I think if we were to understand Christmas, the story of Christmas is a reminder that there's another world out there that is broken into our world, and this means that all we see and all we experience, guess what? It isn't all there is to see. There's more. Max Lucado, a Christian author, says it this way. He says, "While the creatures on earth are unaware, divinity shows up. Heaven opened herself and placed her most precious one in a human womb. The omnipotent in one instant made himself breakable. He who had been spirit became pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. God has broken into our world." All month long, at Community of Hope, we've been chasing this idea, and the idea is wonder. We've been chasing wonder. And we've defined wonder as this. We've defined wonder as disruptive delight. And we drew attention that right now in our world, there are scientists and neurobiologists who are studying the concept of wonder, and they suggest to us that maintaining a sense of wonder in your personal world is one of the things that makes for a flourishing life, to be able to embrace wonder. And here's what I want you to know at Christmas. Jesus breaking into the world is the most disruptive delight, most beautiful disruptive delight the world has ever known. A few weeks ago, Beth and I were sitting out on our back porch. We begin our day almost every day that way. It's our favorite spot. We live in a nice neighborhood that backs up to a preserve, and we're fortunate enough to live on the preserve. So our house opens to the back, and there's this beautiful preserve. And Beth and I, like I brew really good coffee and I make coffee, and we go out there with our Bibles and we just will be quiet and have some time together. And I went out there with my wife last Tuesday, maybe you saw it, and I got some coffee, I had my Bible, I sat down and I looked out in my backyard, and this is what I saw. That's called disruptive delight right there, guys. And one of the things that I want us to understand, and one of the things that I want us to think about tonight, is this idea that Jesus Christ is breaking into our world. And here's what I want you to know. The lid is off the terrarium, right? The world is opened up. There's another world out there. And you and I are given, at Christmas time, this wonderful opportunity, if you will, if we can think of it that way, to view our own human circumstances through the lens of a God who, with his power and his mercy and his grace, is breaking into our world. That's one of the objects of Christmas. We need to be reminded of that. I have a friend of mine who reached out to me earlier this year, and he just texted me and he said, "Hey man, you got any time for me?" And I said, "Yeah, give me a hot minute. I'll figure that out." And I said, "We can get together." So we've eventually connected. And I would never break confidentiality, but I would tell you, he began to talk to me, and I could tell right away, just his body language said, man, he's in a rough time, like things are not good. And he began to trip through some things, and he began to talk about, first of all, listen to this, like disappointments he was experiencing in some of the institutions in his world that he'd always relied on, one of them being his work. And he said, work had made some promises to me, but they didn't deliver on the promises. And I thought it was a healthy place. It's kind of a toxic place. And he began to express disappointment in that. And then the moment the conversation turned a little bit to something else, and he said, you know, he began to express disappointments in people around him. And I told him, I said, you know, I understand that. I said, people can be disappointing. I said, I've been disappointed by people. And I said, I know I've disappointed people. And so it's just part of the human condition. We talked about that for a few moments. But then he went one step further. And in a moment of candor, in a moment of real courage, here's what he did, y'all. He focused the attention on himself. And he expressed disappointment in himself. And he said, this is in essence what he said. He said, I thought I'd be farther along than I am. Where I'm at right now in my life, I thought I'd be in a different place really than where I am right now. And I thought the stuff that I've struggled with, Dale, so long to get past, I thought I'd be past it. And to be honest with you, he said, I'm still all tangled up in it. My life is a mess. And then he said this to me. He said, well, though, I guess it is what it is, and I am what I am. And I want y'all to know, when he said that, that's when I pushed back. And I said, man, I've experienced institutions letting me down. I've experienced people letting me down. I know my own frailty and human condition. I've let myself down. But I said, I want to tell you this, because Christ has come and Christ is real and God is present, it doesn't have to be what it is. And you don't have to be all you are in this moment. And he said, man, do you like really believe that? And I said, with everything in my heart, I believe it. And I just wonder if there might be somebody here or somebody online or somebody out there who needs to know that God in Christ is breaking into the world. And if you'll let him, he'll break into your world. It's one of the objects of Christmas. I have another idea, though. I think another object of Christmas is this one. It's the object of Christmas to remember that God has come to be with us. Now, I want to lift up a caution flag here. This is a little familiar. Like if you knock around church at all, you can run into this. In fact, did you notice our text I just read had it in it? I want to show it to you. And it says in Matthew chapter 1:23, this is how the story ends. A virgin's going to conceive, going to give birth to a son. They're going to call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. And if we're not careful, especially for the religious among us, we can get really tied up in that. We can get all tangled up in that and go, yeah, that's nothing new about that. Nothing new about that at all. But here's what I want to know. I want you to know. This is the number one pronouncement from God to humanity. It's not clean your act up. It's not straighten up and fly right. It's not because it's December, you better watch out, you better not cry. It's not any of that stuff. It's I've come to be with you. It's the number one pronouncement in Scripture about a God who's broken into our world. He says it here at the beginning when Jesus was born. He says it at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew after his resurrection, and he says, hey, surely, he tells the disciples, I'm going to be with you always to the very end of the age. And then he says it at the very last book of the Bible in Revelation 21. He says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. Some of us need to hear tonight. You just need to hear it. He's with you. And I've learned, though, something in the ministry over these years. I've learned sometimes we're not real comfortable with that. We're not sure we want God to be with us. After all, we got stuff, right? We have life. We have humanity. We're not perfect. I want to speak to the men in the room for a moment. I'm going to make a confession to everybody, but then I want to speak to the men. Here's my confession. I'm not good with shopping. My name is Dale. Okay? Are there other men in the room who are not good with shopping? Here's how I like to shop. I like to know what I am going for. I like to get in and get out. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. There's my people. So my wife comes to me a couple weeks ago, Beth, and she said, hey, we've got a lot of stuff on our list, and December's coming. We got to roll through this. And she said, just to give you a little heads up of what we're going to be doing on Friday, we are going to be shopping. And guys, then she says this, we're going to be shopping all day. And then she added, and you're going to love it. So we go shopping, and I'm awkward at it. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not really helpful. And she goes over to this one section where, and I would call it the women's section. And there are all these things there. There's bags and all this stuff. And I came across this bag. I didn't understand it. I took a picture of it. I want to show you. Look at what this bag says. This bag contains my face. And I told Beth, I was like, I need some explanation. What is that? And she goes, Dale, you're not that dumb. She goes, women, it's like we put our makeup in there and we keep our face on. And the minute I saw that, I thought, this is how I think we can think sometimes about God. I got to put my face on. I got to put lipstick on the pig. I gotta clean it up. I want to tell you tonight this. That's not the Christian gospel. The Christian gospel is this. Paul says it so beautifully. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. One of my favorite authors is Dallas Willard, and he's a brilliant man. He's in heaven now, and he's done more to help me orient toward a healthy understanding of the Christian experience, which is, I think, a lifelong quest for all of us, right? And Dallas tells a story that I think tugs at his own heartstrings, because he tells a story about his a father whose wife fell ill, and she passed away suddenly. And they had one son. And Dallas tells a story in one of his books about the father and the son going to the funeral, going through all the motions of the funeral, saying goodbye to the family and driving back home to their now empty home for the first time. And he tells a story. He says, you know, they ramble up to the house that's normally lit. It's dark. They go into the room and they turn on a light in the living room, and there's a void. There's a grief, and they're overcome with it. And the dad tells Dallas that he stayed in the living room with his son until it was bedtime, and then they both went upstairs, and he tucked his son in his bed, and then he walked down the hall and went to his room and got in his bed. Of course, sleep wasn't going to happen. Just overcome with grief. And there's a moment, the dad said, when the door swings open and the little boy comes in and he says, "Dad, I can't sleep. I miss Mama. And I'm just wondering, Daddy, could I stay in your room tonight? Could I be with you?" And like any good dad, right, the dad picks up his son, puts him in his bed, and after a moment he calms him down, he turns the light out. And he's trying to go to sleep again. And then his little son says this. He said, "Hey, Dad, I could feel that you're here, but I need to know this one thing." "Yes?" "Are you looking at me? Is your face turned in my direction?" And the father, kind of stunned by the question, and then said, "Yes, son. I'm here, I'm with you, and my face is turned toward you." And Dallas tells a story that it was just in a blink of an eye and the little boy drifted off to sleep. Some of us are here. And that's what you need to hear. God sees you. He sees your struggle. He sees your pain. He sees your failure. And he's filled with love and he's filled with grace. I'm learning in my own life, the Christian life might be less about my good works and more about the grace that I receive from Jesus. He's here. But I want to give you one more thing. I think the object of Christmas is to remember as well that God has come to live in you. Give me just 3 minutes here. It's common to hear that God is with us. But I want to outfit you tonight with one of the most beautiful and compelling truths of the entire Bible. God has come to make his residence inside of you. The Gospel of John is written, it's the one different gospel of the other three, of the four. And scholars think that most of it was written with John's perception of what he experienced of Jesus in the upper room. And if you get to John chapter 14, the disciples are learning that Jesus is about to go to Jerusalem. He's about to be crucified. And Jesus begins to talk about heaven. He says it like this: "You believe in God," he says, "believe in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms, and if it weren't so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare that place, I will come back again and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you may also be. How do we know the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life." It's all that thing. And then we get to verse 16 of John chapter 14. Notice this. And I'll ask the Father. And until I do all that, I'm going to ask the Father. He's going to give you someone else, which is the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And then in the next verse, he says this. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you. And watch this. Don't miss it. And he will be in you. And in verse 23, it gets even more clear. Jesus said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come. A nod to the Trinity there. To them and we will make our home with them. I'll be home for Christmas. That's God's promise to you. That's his promise to you. Some of us need to hear tonight, Lord, I just need to know the lids off the terrarium. Some of us need to know, God, you're with us, and you're not with us to give us another list of demands that we'll never meet from a God who can't be pleased. And some of us need to know that God has come to live within you to give you the power to live your life. I want to say this and I'll be done. You're getting extra material because you're the last service. So here's the thing. God wants to bestow a well in you that'll never run dry. And some of you tonight, you're exhausted, overwhelmed, unsure, unclear, discouraged, depleted, defeated. Life has become something just to get through. And I want to tell you why that's happening. Because you're drinking from your own well. And God wants to give you living water so that you'll never thirst again. He wants to re-enchant you with the reality of his wonder. I mean, isn't that what Paul said? I mean, didn't Paul write in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, look at this, according to the power that is work within us, to him be the glory in the church. Let him do it. Let him do it. Don't let this just be like a religious experiment or religious experience you go home unchanged by. The story's true and the promises are real. Give him your heart and see what he can do. Lord, I want to thank you for this moment. And Lord, I know that some of us, what we need to hear tonight, we just need to hear, hey, the lid's off the terrarium. You not to look at your circumstances through the window of a God who's breaking into the world. Lord, what we need to hear, hey, you see us. Hey, Lord, this is like real life hitting me. And you want us to know you're facing us. And then lastly, God, would you give us all a well that'll never run dry? Please, Jesus. Please, Jesus. Give us a well that'll never run dry. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.